Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
This year, I will work with Congress and our military to finally repeal the law that denies gay Americans the right to serve the country they love because of who they are. It's the right thing to do.
I'm against partial birth abortions. I'm against federal funding of abortions. And I believe in a strong parental consent notification law.
Just don't pro-choice.
Yes.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Scott Roeder, guilty of the crime of first-degree murder.
The court has determined that the 12 jurors deliberating have reached a unanimous verdict. I will accept your verdict in order that it be filed of record.
We were hoping to help Haitian children who may be the victims of the slave trade, to help rescue them out of that scenario and to give them some hope and a future.
I remember when we first interviewed the elder Robert Schuller. For some reason, we were in Chicago. We went to our affiliate in Chicago back when Issues Etc. was a nationally syndicated radio program at a larger scale than it is. And we went in there and had a conversation with Dr. Robert Schuller over the phone. He had just written a book, and I was struck after this conversation at how consistent he was within his own theology. We all know what it's like. It's Norman Vincent Peale meets Jesus, but more Peale than Jesus, and a lot of positive thinking. He explained to me in this conversation, sometimes in rather stern terms, why he didn't use the word sin. He says that will turn people off. Our real problem, he said, was not so much sin, but that man was born without faith and without self-esteem. And again, I was struck at how consistent he is in his message that he preached for years and years on the Hour of Power and from the Crystal Cathedral in California. His son began appearing with him sometime in the last decade in the pulpit, Robert A. Schuller, and his son's message in many ways was just like his dad's. You could tune into the Hour of Power on any given Sunday, and whether it was the elder or the younger, the message was the same. Christian self-improvement, positive thinking. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of February. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-6943, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. We're going to spend the first 40 minutes of this hour playing an interview earlier today, recorded earlier today, with Dr. Robert A. Schuller, and talking to him about the place of the gospel in the Christian life. He has a book recently written titled Leaning Into God When Life Is Pushing You Away. He's the host of a new TV show called Everyday Life, and he's a former senior pastor at the Crystal Cathedral. I want you to listen carefully, and then I want your reaction after we hear the entire interview. 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MY-IE. You can email your reaction to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us with your reaction at @issuesetc. Let's listen to an interview recorded this morning with Dr. Robert A. Schuller. I am frankly a little surprised reading this book. I've reviewed.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. I'm pleasantly surprised, actually.
Good.
I've reviewed your dad's sermons many times, yours from the Crystal Cathedral when you were there. Read your dad's books, and I even interviewed your dad several years ago. And I find in your book, I find things like sin, guilt, original sin, actual sin, rebellion. You talk about, I guess in theological terms, the active and passive obedience of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, is just all over the first and the last chapters of this book. And it seems like something different than Crystal Cathedral theology, if you don't mind me saying so.
Well, I don't mind you saying that for a moment. I'm not affiliated with the Crystal Cathedral anymore. I was for several years. In fact, I wrote this book to be a sermon series for 09 and 010. And what I was in the process of doing was creating a church without walls, meaning the invisible church of Jesus Christ and edifying the body of Christ. And so the thought was, well, there's all these people who sit there and watch TV. Well, let's take them to the next step, and let's put them together, and let's let them read something, and then answer some questions at the end so they can really internalize what they're reading. And they can do it as families or as friends or groups of different people. And that then is the church, because the church is where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ.
You write,
and so that's what I've done.
You write early in the book, we are born separated from God. Dr. Schuller, how deep is that separation from God?
You know, the Bible speaks very clearly about the path to everlasting life and our path to our connection with God, and that's what this book is all about. It's bridging that massive gap that keeps us separated from Him, and it's a very easy thing to bridge when you understand where you are and the love that God has for all of us. And the difficult part is not the steps. The difficult part is being honest with yourself and being able to say that I need Jesus Christ. I am a person who has needs and are willing to repent and to say yes to Christ. And so that's what this book is really all about.
Why do you begin the book with the story of Martin Luther, the great 16th century reformer?
Well, I guess there's probably a lot of different options I could have taken, a lot of different directions. I think I like the reformer Martin Luther because it shows a real transformation in an individual's life who thought he was everything that God wanted him to be and was doing his best to be that way. And I think he really stands out as someone who really made every possible effort to earn his way into heaven. I can't think of a better example than that. And yet that wasn't good enough. And as a result of that, that's why I went in that direction.
When we're talking to people, and I think you've written the book, you say to people who may have one time had that connection, had faith in Jesus Christ and His atoning sacrifice, but have, through some circumstances or through their own rebellion, whatever it may be, either feel or actually disconnected from God again. Do you think that the language, and you freely employ it early in your book, the language of sin and rebellion and disobedience and all those things, do you think we need to revive this language in the parlance of the church again?
Well, I think that there's clearly a balance that needs to take place, and I believe that everything is all of life, all of our spiritual existence, everything is about. Is really about balance in so many ways. There's the tension between good and evil that is important, and there is the tension that takes place between us as individuals that we need to be aware of. You know, I like the illustration that you can't without a tension, the violin and the guitar won't make any music, and there's that tension within us that we need to be aware of, and so we're drawn from one aspect to the other, and that tension exists in the spiritual realm with the idea of trying to earn our way into heaven, but at the same time knowing that the only way to get to heaven is through the grace of Jesus Christ. And so here is this tension: how do I live? Do I, and for me, I've always resolved that tension through really the act of praying like it all depends on God, but working like it all depends on me, because I don't know how that tension is resolved. I just know it exists, and I know that there's a tremendous amount of dependence upon me to be able to come to Christ, to be able to ask for forgiveness. At the same time, I'm totally dependent upon Him for that gift and to accept me. So you have this tension, and that's what life is. Our spiritual life is about tension. Our physical life is about tension, never having enough money, but at the same time always having all of the bills, and at the same time wanting to do more to enhance our family and our own personal needs. And so these tensions exist there. They exist everywhere. And once we come to the realization that's part of what makes us who we are, and that God really wants us to experience and rest and thrive within that tension, I think it's a healthy place to find ourselves.
All right, we'll come back to our interview with Dr. Robert A. Schuller on the other side of this break, and I do want your reaction to this interview, to the things said, asked, and answered here in this interview recorded earlier today. It's Wednesday, February the 3rd. We're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our call-in number for your reaction, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. About 20 more minutes in this interview, and then I want your reaction. You can also Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Well, so far, it was frankly surprising to read that much of a clear message of sin and grace, of our disobedience and Christ's obedience on our behalf, of the atonement, of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for us sinners, in a book with an author whose last name is Schuller. You don't usually get it from Crystal Cathedral Theology or The Hour of Power, but the place of that gospel, to acknowledge it there in theory as the beginning of the Christian life, that's true insofar as it goes, but what is the place of that gospel in the everyday life of the Christian? Is it central or is it just the springboard, just the thing that gets you into the pool, but the pool is something else? We'll explore those questions with Dr. Robert A. Schuller, author of the book Leaning Into God When Life Is Pushing You Away, an interview we did earlier today with him on Issues Etc. Your reaction coming up, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at @IssuesETC. It's one thing to acknowledge the gospel. Most Christians do that. All should. All who truly call themselves Christians need to. But what is the place of that gospel? Is it just the beginning, or is it the everyday life of the Christian? We'll be right back. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Less laughing, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you. IssuesETC.org, and click Find a Church. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're in the middle of an interview recorded earlier today with Dr. Robert A. Schuller, former senior pastor at the Crystal Cathedral, host of a new TV show called Everyday Life, and author of more than 12 books, including his latest, Leaning Into God When Life Is Pushing You Away. In the course of that book, he describes the Christian life as a struggle. That's good. I wondered what Dr. Schuller meant by the Christian life as a struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. Christianity is a struggle. It is a challenge. It is the first step of being saved is very simple. the act of salvation is very simple. The Bible says those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Period. So we declare Jesus Christ is Lord, and you are saved. That is a simple thing to do. The difficult part is living the Christian life, and the challenge of living the Christian life isn't so much not doing bad things, because it's easy not to do bad things. All you have to do is sit on your hands and do nothing, and you're not going to do bad things. But that doesn't mean you're doing what God wants you to do. Living the Christian life means we're doing what God wants us to do and not what he doesn't want us to do. That is, again, this tension I talked about earlier, where we have to do something in order to do what God wants us to do, and in the process of doing something, we always run the risk of doing something bad and doing something wrong. And yet, that's that tension that God wants us to live in and to master and to realize that as we go through these things and as we trip and we fall and as we fail, that God loves us and he loves our failure. He loves the fact that our hearts are willing and he understands that our flesh is weak.
Well, here's my problem, Dr. Schuller. My problem is even if I sit on my hands, I still have thoughts and inclinations that I know are in open rebellion to God. Even
Correct.
When I, with the best of intentions, my best intentions are always stained, the dark stain of my own self-centeredness and sin.
Correct.
And I find it necessary, and I don't think this is just me, I think it's St. Paul too, if you read Romans 7, constantly take refuge in the all-availing, perfect obedience of Jesus Christ for me. Can a Christian ever say, all right, I got the whole Jesus died for me, I'm forgiven now thing down pat, now I go on to more important things?
I think yes. I'm clearly a believer in the fact that once we're saved, we're saved. I mean, there's only one time you can be saved. So you either are or you aren't saved. And I believe the Bible is true when it says that if we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. I think God's grace and mercy abounds. I think what's challenging for us is to rest in that grace and to trust in the forgiveness of Christ, to realize that we are imperfect human beings, that we will sin. As you said, you really can't avoid it. Even if you sit on your hands, you're going to have the negative thoughts and the illicit thoughts, and as a result of that, you can't live a perfect life. That's why grace is so important.
If you don't mind, some questions about Crystal Cathedral. I don't want to delve too deeply, but there's several recent stories about an $8 million drop in revenue at Crystal Cathedral, and they're in the process of making budget cuts. Could you please respond to some of these news stories?
My response is that that it's a really sad situation, I'm not involved in that. I haven't been involved since I left in October '08, and I have no idea what they're doing at this point and why they're making some of the decisions they are making, any more than I understand the decision they made back in October of '08 not to take me off the hour of power and not allow me to preach on Sunday mornings.
Well,
as the senior pastor of the church, that I never could understand that, and with that I resigned, and taken the dust off of my sandals and moved on. Dust off my sandals and moved on.
What happened in a nutshell in the months leading up to October 08?
There was a struggle with my sisters who wanted to have more authority and more roles in the church. There was a struggle with leadership and a struggle with people accepting the fact that I was a senior pastor, and so they used the powers that be to really boot me out, pretty mildly. And so I just finally resigned and said, it's not worth this. I've got better things to do. And I had no idea what I was going to do. So in November, I had resigned completely and had no idea where I was going or what I'd be doing. But I believe that God takes us at our low points, and he really, that's when he can really use us, when we're really humbled before him and say, okay, Lord, where do you, there must be something here you're trying to teach me, something you're trying to direct me, something you want to do with me.
Did your exit from the Crystal Cathedral, did it lead to a better appreciation, a return to the basic message of Christianity, our sin, God's grace in Jesus Christ, our rebellion, God's mercy, and his sacrifice of his son at the cross for us?
No, I think I've always been there. I know some of my earlier books weren't as strong in that in that direction. I wanted to write a book that really was Christ-centered to the point of being in effect a handbook for Christianity, and I wanted to do this because, again, I wanted to take people who are listening to me on the Hour of Power and just take them a little deeper and share with them, and because it's hard to communicate these messages on television without people having an opportunity to come forward like you do at a Billy Graham crusade, or to have somebody to cry with, or because it's television. And so I wanted to take this to the next level, and that's why I wrote this book the way it's written, as a companion to a series of messages that I would be delivering actually right now on the Hour of Power. And the messages I would deliver in the Hour of Power would be a softer version of this. Then people go and pick up the book and they read this and they go a little bit deeper. Then they go and they read it with friends and it transforms their lives. So my thought was to take people along as they where they feel comfortable.
Well, I mentioned before that I had not so much been a student, but a careful observer of things on the Hour of Power and your dad's theology and whatnot, and mm-hmm. reviewed some of your sermons. The message that I did not hear previously, that of yes, we are all born and in need of a savior, not just a helper, but a savior. That our problem, our true problem, is our own sin and rebellion inborn in us from Adam. That the only solution for this is the perfect life, death, and resurrection of the one man, Jesus Christ, for us as a sacrifice, and that this is this is enough and sufficient to save every man, woman, and child in the world, and Jesus Christ has accomplished this all for us out of God's unfathomable grace. What I didn't hear then
exactly.
in those Hour of Power sermons, often kind of Christian self-help, is this message of sin and grace, of our rebellion and Christ's perfect obedience for us, is this something that Christians need to hear week in, week out, every Sunday, every sermon?
I don't think people need that every sermon, week in, week out. I think people need a more rounded approach on a regular basis to Christian living. And I think that it's imperative to have that knowledge and that understanding. I think it's imperative for us to be able to embrace that theology. But at the same time, we also want to know and need to know how do we raise our teens in a perverted world. How do I be a better parent? We need to know, how do I be a better employee? How do I deal with things of these nature as well? So as a result of that, what I tend to do in my preaching and what I did do for 32 years, because I preached every Sunday. I preached 50 Sundays a year for nearly 30 years, because I wasn't at the cathedral for the first 25, 30 years of my ministry, and I would preach through the Bible. So you take a passage of Scripture, and not every Scripture deals with those topics. you can weave it in. It can be a part of it. But when if you look at the letters of St. Paul, he addresses the needs of the church. And I think we need to. I think what's imperative for preachers to do is to preach through the Bible, so that you have the entire message of God's grace, how to live, how to be, and how to hope, and how to get through the tough times in life, and how to raise our families, and how to be a better person.
You're listening to an interview recorded earlier today with Dr. Robert A. Schuller. I want your feedback. In about 15 minutes, you can Twitter us at IssuesETC. Email your questions or comments to us live here in the studio on this Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of February. Talkback at IssuesETC.org. Talkback at IssuesETC.org. Or give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6900. When we come back, does the message of God's law and gospel need to be preached every Sunday to every sinner, believer and unbeliever? We'll be right back.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kieschnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do the needs of the earth conflict with those of human beings?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Recently, Canada's Financial Post newspaper called China a world leader in environmental protection. How can the world's primary emitter of CO2 and home to 16 of the most polluted cities be called that? According to the paper, China is facing the inconvenient truth that other countries refuse to address. Population. So, what does the Financial Post advocate? A global one-child policy similar to China's to reduce the world's population 50% by the turn of the century. For some radical environmentalists, humans can't solve Earth's problems. Humans are the problem.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're listening to a conversation with Dr. Robert A. Schuller. He's authored a new book, Leaning Into God When Life is Pushing You Away. I'm trying to explore with him in this previously recorded interview that we're listening to, not only what the gospel is, he's pretty clear about that. In fact, abundantly clear about that in his new book. It was very un-Schuller-esque, if you ask me. A lot of talk about sin and grace, talk about explicit, more explicit than you get from practically any big television preacher, the need for Christ's atoning work, what that work actually is, what Christ did, the active and passive obedience of Christ, all that's very clear. But what I'm curious about in this interview is the place of that message. You see, it's one thing to talk about the gospel in abstract, but how does it work in the context of all of Christian theology and life? Those two things are not separate, theology and life. One might even say life is theology and the other way around too. What is the place of the gospel? Is it the engine that runs everything, or is it just the little spark that gets the engine going, but the engine is in fact fueled by something else, running on something else? Is it the central teaching, or is it one teaching among many? Now, our interview with Dr. Schuller concludes in about 10 minutes, and then I want to hear from you. your reaction to what you've heard. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, our email address on this Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of February, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. Back to our interview with Dr. Robert Schuller. Here's his answer to a scenario I gave him. I get in the pulpit, and when I've preached for 20 years, what do? I take a passage of Scripture. I say, where is the sin? Where's my sin? And where is the Savior? But to every sinner, every sermon, every Sunday, they need to hear the message of sin and grace, law and gospel. I wonder what he thought.
I don't think that's something that needs to be repeated. If they're doing that if you've taught your congregation that you, when you pray, part of your prayer is to call upon God to forgive your sins, and you're doing that on a daily basis, when you come to church, that is a part of the whole worship experience. Is included a prayer of forgiveness and repentance. And then I think we go on. I don't think the sermon on Sunday mornings in church should be 20 minutes of that every single Sunday.
Talk a little bit about, in a personal way, the role of forgiveness in what you've been through with your family, with the folks at the cathedral.
You know, my family at the my extended family. You know, we're cordial, but beyond that, I just don't have much of a relationship with them at this point. And quite frankly, I just don't feel safe having a relationship with them at this point. I find it distracting, and I find it, it very hurtful. And, so for my own self-preservation, I've chosen to just leave it in that vein where I'm cordial with them, but that's about as far as it goes.
Have you forgiven them? Do you struggle to forgive them?
I do struggle to forgive them. Forgiveness is an interesting thing. People have different definitions when you say forgiveness. For me, forgiveness doesn't mean everything is back to the way it was. And everybody's lovey-dovey. I just don't see forgiveness that way. I used the illustration before of a battered wife who's been battered and living in a battered situation for years. It's her husband hasn't given any indication of changing his patterns at all. I would never counsel that woman to move back in with her husband until there's some very, very clear change of heart and pattern, because I don't think that's fair to put a woman in that situation. And I would say the same thing with if you have family members who are treating you really bad, and every time you leave, you feel really bad. And I don't think you should subject yourself to that kind of feelings just because they're your family members. I think it's important to be cordial and to be nice, and I think you can forgive them and understanding and realize that there's something probably really sad that causes people to act that way or be that way. And when you can get past the fact that, hey, I'm hurting and I don't like this. When you get past that fact to the realization that some of these individuals have issues they just have never dealt with, then you can begin to have sympathy. And I believe that's where forgiveness comes from. It comes out of a place of sympathy and love. And you know, in the King James Version, the word for love is charity. And so it becomes a point of feeling sorry for somebody, in effect, as opposed to being angry and bitter. You feel sorry. But that doesn't mean that you go and you put yourself in front of the truck again to get run over for a tenth time.
You've been very generous with your time, Dr. Schuller. I want your reaction to something as we wind down our conversation. I've been doing this radio program for the better part of a decade, but also serve as a pastor and preach regularly. And I've made it my, if you will, my mission because I believe that this is what the scriptures instruct us pastors to do, to clearly placard Christ and Him crucified before the eyes of the people, believers and unbelievers, whoever's out there in the congregation every Sunday, to proclaim our great need in my sin for what only Jesus Christ can provide, a life that is a substitute for my miserable and sorry life in God's eyes, and that life laid down in sacrifice as all sufficient to save not only unbelievers, but to save Christians too, who continually fall. That Jesus is enough. His blood really does pay the price for sins, and I believe that that is something both unbelievers and Christians especially need to remain constantly in earshot of every Sunday, every sermon. Your reaction to that approach?
I think I've already shared my reaction to that, and that my reaction would have to be a question, and that is, how do you do that?
Well,
through a passage of scripture which deals with something that and what I try to do, and when I teach from the Bible and teach the scripture, as I try to just say exactly what the scripture says, then how does that apply to our lives? And I can incorporate that into that to some degree, but it isn't always the main thesis of every single verse in the Bible.
My question was poorly worded. Drawing from a given text of Scripture and going on Jesus' instruction that all Scriptures testify of Him, it may be something from the Old Testament, King David. It may be something from the New Testament, St. Paul talking about husbands love your wives or something like that. Staying within the context of that Scripture, not trying to violate that, but saying in the end, before, how does this apply to Christians? How does this testify to Christ? And then, what does that say to us as Christians? That's my approach, if you will. What do you make of it?
I think that probably works pretty well for you. Here you are on the radio, and it seems like you have a very, very good approach to ministry, and I believe that everything you say is very important for Christians to understand, so I applaud you.
Well, finally, then, thank you, and finally, when the cross of Jesus for sinners is so clear in your book, and again, it's, like I said, blood all over the first couple of chapters and the last ones, and I just delight in that, Dr. Schuller.
Thank you.
When the cross
Thank
of
you.
Jesus is so clear in this book, how come wasn't that the central message of the hour of power?
Why wasn't it?
Yes.
You know, I didn't start the hour of power. My father did, and I can't really answer that question. You'll have to, when you have an opportunity, you can ask my father that question.
I think I did, but I can't remember how he answered it. So, Dr. Robert Schuller is former pastor of the Crystal Cathedral, host of a new TV program called Everyday Life. He's author of more than 12 books, including his latest titled Leaning Into God When Life Is Pushing You Away. Dr. Schuller, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, you're very welcome, Todd. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to the St. Louis through your radio show. And I just want to wish everybody there Godspeed and God's love, and thank you for this opportunity.
So what do you think about our interview with Dr. Robert A. Schuller? The last 15 minutes on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 3rd, are dedicated to your reaction to that interview. I want to hear from you, your reaction, positive, negative, whatever it may be, a question I may have not asked that I should have asked, an answer that intrigued you. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can Twitter us at IssuesETC or email your questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. So we can find agreement here on what the gospel is, broadly defined, but its place in Christian theology and the life of the Christian, not necessarily central. We'll be right back with your reaction. Stay tuned.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, Issues Etc. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're leaving the entire remainder of the program for your reaction to our interview with Dr. Robert A. Schuller. The question of how central is the gospel of Jesus Christ is at hand. I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Or you can Twitter us with questions or comments. Your reaction to our interview with Dr. Robert A. Schuller at issuesetc. Kristen in Iowa City, Iowa sends this email. She says, I think a major difference that this can all be boiled down to is the priority problem. He talks about not bringing up sin and grace in every sermon because his parishioners heard it every day in regular discussion, and in one prayer during the service, he focuses more on how to be a good parent or a better worker. His priority problem, then, is not sin and our wretched condition before God. It's how do I make this temporal passing life better? Whereas we realize we're hypocrites, we realize we're dirty, and we realize we're absolutely nothing. There's nothing we can do to fix it. Give us the grace we need, especially after we hear we're sinners. I simply can't see feeling, not relying on feelings, satisfaction from a service like that, says Crystal. Thank you very much for your email, Crystal. Well, yeah, priority, centrality, how should we put it? We're not talking about someone who denies the gospel. I mean, heck, even Robert A. Schuller's father would, at least in principle, affirm the gospel. The question is, what is its place in theology and life? Scott is listening in Oakwood, Illinois. Scott, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Pastor.
Yeah.
I'm noticing evidence of a lot of inconsistency in Dr. Schuller's theology in this interview you just played. I don't see a good separation between what makes for good church practice or good television. There needs to be a separation there. I also don't see a good separation of law and gospel, and I don't believe he understands what the command to preach the word looks like. There's a clear disconnect between his version of pulpit ministry and Paul's divine charge to Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, chapter 4. sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. What Paul is saying there is no specific season for it. It's something you have to preach all the time, every single Sunday. And Dr. Schiller doesn't know who's sitting in the pews Sunday any more than a Lutheran pastor does. A different congregation could sit there every week, and they'll all need the same message. And unfortunately, Dr. Schiller has conveniently found himself as a preacher that scratches itching ears, and he was pretty much born into that. And I think he's just confused about the difference between the two. He needs to sit in a Lutheran church for a while, hear a good 3-year lectionary, hear how a Lutheran pastor deals with it, and I think he just needs to sit on the bench for a while.
That's an interesting take on it. Thanks for listening up in Oakwood, Scott, and thanks for your phone call. Peter in Wisconsin says, while it's good to hear that the younger Schuller is more into sin and grace than he had been, he's still just a babe. Despite his agreement with some of the things you said, he has made it clear that he does not really grasp the depth of the sinful condition. His view of the struggle with the sinful nature is more of a tag team match against life, something like I'll tag my sin out and the Christian in me comes in fresh from the battle for life, rather than the fact that I have a personal ongoing struggle with my sinful self, to which my only response can be, what a wretched man am I? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He also viewed your approach to preaching positively because you were having success. It works for you. That's very telling as well. You might have asked how he approaches the study of Scripture, although he did allude to it. I pray that God will show him Jesus throughout. Now, there's some insight. Peter, thank you very much for listening in Wisconsin as well. When we talked with Ted Haggard years ago, when he was president of the National Association of Evangelicals, he was as plain as Dr. Schuller was on the subject that he just really didn't think that the central message needed to be our sin and Christ's provision for our sin in a perfect life, death, and resurrection. It was there, but it wasn't central, and the need for it, well, in Haggard's case, he just said, Christians don't sin every day, so why would you need Jesus every day? Whereas I think Dr. Schuller was beyond that. I think he was willing to say, yes, we do sin every day, but we kind of have that the gospel filed away in our minds. We know it's there. It's always there. It's assumed, if you will, so that we can free ourselves to talk about more important things. What about the rest of you? Tell us what you thought about our interview with Dr. Robert Schuller. 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us @issuesetc. Mary in Southern Illinois says, I didn't hear anything about repentance, forgiveness, or even praise until the last bit, when the poor man was very defensive about his family situation. I wouldn't call him defensive. I think he's just bewildered by that situation, to be charitable, Mary. He says, you can tell he's not a Lutheran because he doesn't think that we need to hear law and gospel every Sunday. I need it more often, so I keep going to catechesis. Just pausing in her email for a moment there. It's sad to note, though, and I was thinking about this through the entire interview, Mary, that I could probably, if I got my fellow Lutheran pastors to be honest for a few minutes with me, I could probably get exactly the same answers out of them. In fact, judging by some of their practices and preaching, I'm pretty sure that they believe the gospel can be assumed, put away safely in a lockbox, and now we go on to more important things, and that this whole law and gospel thing is just not really for it. So let's not lay it all at Dr. Schuller's doorstep. We have to, there are some who call themselves Lutheran who seem to miss those things as well. Mary continues, seems to be a very nice man, but how can he tell others how to lead a Christian life when he can't figure out what to do about his own personal situation? I think he was right on about his description of early Luther, but he needs to read more about the later Luther. He's all messed up about what the forgiveness is and is not. Well, I heard a man struggling with forgiving family members when he had been deeply, deeply hurt. Not a man who doesn't understand forgiveness as much as someone who is struggling to figure out how that works out in his everyday life, dealing with his family. Gary in Bridgeton, New Jersey says, Dr. Schuller appears to be preaching an asacramental Jesus, which is really no Jesus at all without the sacraments. Jesus is simply not there to fight against the old man. For us, without the sacraments, it is us against the old man, and that's the way of failure at worst and lack of certainty at best. Thank you for listening in New Jersey, Gary. Chris is listening in Indianapolis. Chris, welcome.
Hey, Todd, I was listening with quite interest here. I think his Dr. Schuller's struggle to forgive his family members, I think in part is caused by the fact that he still hasn't figured out how the gospel applies in everyday preaching. And if he were hearing and preaching to himself his sinfulness and the forgiveness of sins won by Christ on the cross, I think that would have a huge impact in how he was dealing with his personal struggles of forgiveness when it comes to his own family. I heard a lot of rationalization from him on how to handle forgiveness and not being hurt again, but all that was rationalization, not really grounded in the cross and in the gospel. And so I think it was very telling to see the fruit in his own life from that assumed gospel.
Chris, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Indianapolis. Well, good point. If one has a less than biblical view of sin, one's own sin, one will of necessity have a less than biblical view of forgiveness. And then, of course, that will affect the forgiveness that flows from the great forgiveness of Jesus Christ. If I think I've only been forgiven a little, I forgive a little. If I'm ambiguous as to how central that forgiveness is in my life, I might have trouble seeing how central it is in my relationships with other people. All that said, I'm trying to be charitable to Dr. Schuller and say, if I were put in his shoes, and I've experienced some of that, the struggle to forgive is ongoing, I assure you, dear Christian friends. It is an ongoing struggle, something I need to confess each and every day. Ken is listening in Orlando, Florida. He says, is the subject of the gospel mere knowledge or the power of God? Well, that's a good question. Maybe that's the difference here. Let me think about that. The gospel as knowledge of what Christ has done for you. And there's assurance that comes along with that. But mere knowledge, mere beginning point, mere springboard to the rest of the Christian life, or the gospel as the power of God unto salvation, not just to get you saved or even to keep you saved, but on the ongoing, everyday, continuing salvation that God works through that gospel. Now see, there's the difference. Is the gospel the power of God unto salvation, by which Paul means it takes a sinner and grants him salvation one time? I mean, Dr. Schuller even said that. You only get saved once. But aren't I saved every day? Isn't God continually saving me? Not that I'm more saved today than I was yesterday, but I need that salvation, that gospel, that perfect life of Jesus each and every day. It is the warp and woof of my life and of every relationship that I have. It is my constant assurance. Folks, if you appreciate the Christ-centered, cross-focused message of Issues Etc., consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in 2010. It's our monthly or annual donor program. Find out about how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at our homepage, issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's like a wheel, and at the center of the wheel, the hub of the wheel around which the entire wheel turns, there is the cross of Jesus Christ, Him, Jesus, crucified and risen for you and for me. And all the rest of life, like the spokes of that wheel, radiate from Christ. If Christ isn't the center, then the wheel will never turn the way it should. It won't be a wheel anymore. It won't go anyplace. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.